Good morning, church. Good morning. The Battle Hymn of the Republic. What an awesome song. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. I want to thank the elders and the brothers allowing me to share here this morning with you. Today's title is Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. We sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Of course, we know that it came from the Revolutionary War, us winning the war in 1776 against the Brits. Allowed us to have independence and freedom to worship God and liberty and justice for all. But then what was interesting after that was the Civil War and what that represented and how that a lot of it had to do with slavery. I'm not here to talk about the Civil War and the foundations of it, but some of that flavor was in there. And then Jim Crow and the laws that came down in the South was pretty intense. And then the civil rights movement, the nonviolent movement that will allow people to again have, you know, civil liberties and things of that nature. But today we're going to talk about freedom in Christ. But I'm not going to approach it from the grace perspective initially. I'm going to approach it from the fact that we need to fight to stay free in Christ. I think it's important that we've got to develop a mindset that we are fighters, fighters for Jesus. Fighters for our salvation, fighters with the armor of God, fighters with the vision that Jesus has, fighters for the lost souls of this world. It is not just about the grace and all. We can't be soft. We got to be fighters. We got to fight for our freedom. Look in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom of the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Everyone in the synagogues. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came to give freedom for all, to release the oppressed, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then, of course, this was in his hometown, and more happens after that, and we're going to get into that. But I do want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July. I hope you enjoyed your barbecue. I grilled. It was fun. We had some great ribs, some great chicken, some great sausages, some great ice cream, some great apple pie. We had, you know, some great potato salad, some grape strawberries. We had butter pecan. Man, it was a feast. Amen. I mean, so we enjoyed ourselves. And here's the thing. Here's my thinking. I said, you know, before I eat this food, I'm going to go ahead and get on the elliptical machine for 45 minutes. So I went to the gym before I ate all this food just so I can feel good about myself, okay? So I said, I cut it loose. Hey, amen, this is all good. I've exercised. I came home, my shirt was sweaty, and then we got down. So it was great. Really, really wild. Really wild. Figure out my thinking. But really, Jesus came to give us freedom. He really did. And what you got to understand, just like we see all these wars, and the world is at war all the time for freedom. I mean, we're always fighting for something. You know, you've got ISIS fighting, and they're doing crazy things. You know, of course, we've had the Revolutionary War. We have the Civil Rights Movement. We've had all these different things. You know, as people, we're always fighting for our freedom. So as Christians, why don't we fight harder for our faith? I mean, really, we are in an intense spiritual battle. It is a battle that we don't see. Sort of like what makes war so difficult in some of these places, the Middle East, you can't see the enemy. So it makes you feel a sense of, hey, I'm comforted here. I can't see the enemy. Who is the enemy? Well, we all know Satan is the enemy. And that's been a big theme here for us lately. Look over in Revelation chapter 12. Freedom in Christ, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, teens and children. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurried to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accusers of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." Look over in verse 17. "Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." We are in an intense spiritual battle. It is unbelievably challenging. It's incredible. It is divine. It's demonic. It's filled with demons. It is unbelievable. And if we don't arm ourselves, we won't be prepared. We won't be prepared. Jesus came to free us, and the devil came to enslave us. He's here. He lost the battle in heaven. He lost to God. He lost. So that should encourage us right there. The guy lost. He lost. Done. Can't win. But oftentimes, he beats us up. He's sneaky, he's cruel, he's mean, he's divisive, he's evil. But he will flee from you if you resist him. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in a fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul's defense of his ministry. That's what the NIV says. Of course, we know these were written by different scholars, but that's a good thing here. Paul's defense of his ministry, as the NIV says at the top. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world," right, Jeff Mueller? Amen. Heard this morning. "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." We fight with divine weapons. The reason why it's so important to become a true disciple of Jesus is so that you can fight with the devil and beat the joker down. Beat him down with prayer. Beat him down with the word of God. Beat him down with a wonderful fellowship. Beat him down with Jesus. We fight with divine weapons. They demolish strongholds. Demolish strongholds. And we'll talk about demolishing a little bit later. But really, we have to understand we're not in a laissez-faire, this is all good environment. We're not. We're not. It's very intense. Very intense. Very intense. Because you can't see it. If you could see the enemy, you can better deal with him. But he's sort of like water that gets into a crack and crevice. When you think you plug one area, here he comes somewhere else. That's why it's so important for us to be vigilant about this war that we're fighting. We can't get hit in the mouth, as you say as a football coach. Or if you do get hit in the mouth, you got to get back up. Sometimes you get hit in the mouth. Sometimes he really beats you down. Sometimes he gets after us. But we do have tools and weapons to fight back. Look over in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. We're going to travel just a little bit today. My first point is, we've got to fight with the full armor of God. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always be praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whatever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul says, look, the full armor of God. Put it on because you're in a fight. And Satan's trying to take off your armor. I'm going to give you one football illustration. Just one. I promise. I haven't done it in two sermons. I'm going to do it just one, okay? Alan supports me. Alan likes my football illustration. So the elder, I'll reach out to the elder, amen? So one of the things that I do, I'm an offensive line coach. And you guys, you're going to feel this may be evil. It's not evil. It's the rules. It is what you should do, okay? Satan attacks the breastplate of righteousness. The first thing he does is come after our righteousness, which is our breastplate. We put it on. We put a helmet on. Football, you put on a helmet. You put on shoulder pads, knee pads, thigh pads, girdle, you know, jock support, cleats, and all those things, mouthpiece. As an offensive line coach, we've got two steps where we literally have to undress the defender in two steps. If it's three, if it's wrong, this step right here, if I'm running inside zone, okay, and I'm stepped here, I'm good. If I step here, I'm wrong. If I step that way, I'm wrong. And what happens, the guy, there he goes, right there. He's going to jack you up. And here's what the defensive lineman is going to do. He's going to get under your shoulder pads and try to take your clothes off. He's going to try to choke you out. That's one of the things we say, guys, don't let him choke you out. Okay, so we talk in the run game. Hey, look, guys, flat back, shoulder square, eyes up, thumbs under your chin, okay? Don't holster your arms, because if you holster your arms, he's going to take that breastplate and just jack it up. All we need to do is we need to go from here to here. That's a touchdown. From here to here is a touchdown, that distance. If I can go here, here, that's a touchdown. If I don't move, 5-yard loss. Somebody's leg is broken. And all I'm trying to do, now as an offensive line coach, what am I saying? I'm saying, guys, look, here's the deal. When you get his breastplate, take it off. Just get underneath him, play with leverage, get the crown of your helmet underneath his chin, get your back flat, get that thing going, you're like an airplane, take it off. Take it off. Okay, it's legal. Get your hands in his slots, under his armpits, okay, thumbs up, and just jack your hips and get him out of there. Okay, if you do that, you're fine. Don't cut him, that's illegal. Don't hit him in the head, that's illegal. The rules say we can get right here and move that guy. Pass blocking, the same thing. Okay, we're going to stand here, we're going to post that guy, we're going to jack him up, get our hips down, we're going to jump him. If we turn our shoulder, we're too soft, that's a sack. Quarterback's out for the year. Okay, shoulder square, we jump that on the 3-set, post the 2-set, jump the 1-set. Okay, if you don't do that, then you're in trouble. That's exactly how we coach it. That's it. And pre-snap, we need to know where he is. If he's out here, that's a 3-set. Okay? If he's head up, that's a 2-set. Out, in. Here, jump it. Pick it up and put it down. Boom, boom. Okay? If you drop back, you overset, there he goes. Blown up. Okay? So that's some of the fundamental stuff that we coach. Okay? And we don't coach football just for kids to play and win games. We coach to get them to go to college. And one of the things is we've had 8 guys. I've had 5 Division I guys get scholarships. And they go, they call me, coach, hey, I'm going to Vanderbilt. Coach, I'm going to Navy. Coach, I'm going to Georgia Tech. Coach, I'm going to Troy. Coach, I'm going to Davidson. I'm going to all these places. Coach, your technique really works. I felt bad for the kids. They were getting blown up. Coach, we were abusing them. That's what Satan does to us. If we're not prepared. I'll tell you one last story and move on from football. We had a 6A school. We're a AA school. private school. We had a 6A school come to us and work out this summer. Offensive line. I told the coach beforehand, I said, Coach, here's the deal. I don't care if this is a private school. We coach them just like they're football players. Okay? They got big-time recruits coming over here. We block them up. Their coach starts cursing at the kids. The players start cursing. And they're at GAC, a Christian school. And I'm like, Coach, they couldn't even get off the line of scrimmage. Their guys were coming out, our guys couldn't get off the line of scrimmage because we had them so prepared. They were trying to get, couldn't get there. Sit down, get your hips down, get your hands up, strike them, pop your hips. Here we go. Okay? Good job. Punch these guys, man. Punch them. It's okay. It's okay. It's the rules. It's the rules. Brothers and sisters, Satan punches us in the mouth every day. He does not say, hey, he's trying to knock us out. He's trying to knock us out. He's trying to punch us. We got to put on a full armor of righteousness. We got to walk with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. We've got to be vigilant in those spaces, in that place spiritually. You know, the thing is, I appreciate all the brothers, and I'm grateful because I have teenage boys. And I'm grateful that the brothers, you know, including myself, wrote these quiet times for these teens. This is an amazing thing for the teens because it gives them a chance to learn how to put on the full armor of God. Now, you can't make them do it, okay? You really can't. But my prayer is that they would choose to do it so that they can win the messages in the world. They can beat the world's messages. I wish I had this as a teenager. You know, I wish I was exposed to this, and I said, you know what, it's my choice. I'm going to read this. There's some great stuff in here. I can develop my own faith because I'm learning how to put on the full armor of God. It's amazing studies in here about the Savior, about God's forgiveness, about God's grace. I mean, it's comprehensive. So when you start getting punched in the face about your purity, and you get punched in the face about peer pressure or anything else or compromising or lying or whatever, you've got a tool to help you just like we have the tool, which is the Bible. Amen? Amen. I just want us to really be vigilant in that regard. Look over in John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. It's a real basic verse, but it says this. To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Bible says that Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you put on the full armor of God. You fight with the full armor of God. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the only way you'll know. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing a message, and the message is heard from the word of Christ. That's how we are able to win. We need to fight with the full armor of God. It's important. The one another passages. One of the things I'm trying to do more of. Look, we're all busy. It's difficult. I'm just trying to call brothers and say hello. You know, hey, bro, how you doing? What's going on with you, man? How you doing today? How's life treating you? Because I know that brother's out there fighting for his family to put food on the table. It's difficult at times. How's it going? How are we doing with that? Are we encouraging one another daily? The Bible has 50 passages or more on encouraging one another daily. I'm not talking about show up on Thursday, show up on Sunday. If I practice during the season, okay, and we just showed up on Mondays and Thursdays, hey, guys, let's go play a game on Friday, we'd get our tails kicked. We'd get beat down. We would. And I think that although we can't physically be with each other every day, we need to be each other's lives periodically. And what I'm saying periodically, you call one brother today, you call another brother this day. You call another brother this day, you call another brother that day. You may not be able to physically present. You call one sister this day, you call another sister. How are you doing, sis? What's going on? How's life treating you? I'm so grateful. I've gotten with disciples on the phone and in person. Schultz brought me a great breakfast for my birthday 2 months later. Amen. I appreciate it, bro. I love him. I can say that to Schultz. He's awesome. I love Todd Schultz. We got with the Francis. They encouraged us. They've got children who are adopted. We've got children who are adopted. It was so encouraging to be encouraged by these people. How's that going? An evangelist has nothing to do with that. Transition has nothing to do with that. That's your own heart. Has nothing to do with it. You know what? You probably won't do it when he's here. You probably won't do it when he's not here. It doesn't make a difference. It's a matter of you deciding, us deciding, we're going to encourage each other and strap each other up for this battle. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Turn your Bibles back to Luke chapter 4. We're going to go back to this opening verse. We're going to flesh this verse out a little bit. The second point is you got to fight with the vision that Jesus gives us. In Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is a powerful verse, not only because it came to tell, it tells us what Jesus came to do, but it also has some depth to it. This verse goes all the way back to Leviticus chapter 5. And what's going on? I'm sorry, Leviticus chapter 25. It's the year of the Jubilee. Okay, the year of the Jubilee. What happened there in the year of the Jubilee? Basically, once every 50 years, the slaves were freed of their debts. They were freed of everything, their debt, whatever they owed, whatever was taken from them was given back to their original family. They were free. And then Isaiah 61, verse 1, Isaiah prophesies about the verse, and then Jesus says, today it is fulfilled in your hearing. Just imagine. Just envision this. All your debt was free. All of it. Now, hold on a second. I know some of us are debt-free. Praise God for it. But I'm talking about the utilities. I'm talking about the lights, the gas we pay to travel. Every single thing was free. How much would that lift off of our shoulders? Just imagine what that would feel like if we didn't have to pay for anything. Essentially, in the spiritual realm, that's what it's like. We don't pay for anything. Everything is free. You know, when you line up and get free food or whatever, it feels great. I didn't have to pay for this. Whenever we don't pay for something, it is a great thing. And really, what Jesus is trying to convey to them is the vision that he's had for us all along. That God has always wanted us to be free. And from the very beginning, he's wanted us to be free. He's wanted to release us from the oppression, okay? The spiritual oppression, the sin in our lives, the things that are not righteous. He wants us to see, like Paul said, man, I was blind and the scales fell from my eyes when Paul got converted. That's the kind of stuff that Jesus wants for us, is for us to have that kind of vision. You know, oftentimes it's difficult to have vision when you're living around oppression and when you're living in challenging circumstances. I wanted to hold up my wife here. First of all, Diane is an awesome woman of God. Amen? She's fantastic. The thing that's amazing about her, she's been selected to be a part of the Upside Down, the new Upside Down for the Southeastern Conference. Yep, big up to Diane. That's awesome. But in the 60s and 70s, honey, we love you. I'm just not trying to do some things here. Please forgive me, but I've got to, that's part of the illustration. Many years ago, amen, okay? Diane grew up in Liberty City, and she saw the riots in Miami. They literally burned down the city. What's so sad about Liberty City, it's still a pretty desolate place. I mean, it's hard to have vision coming out of Liberty City. Really, what's amazing, Miami has the most players in the NFL. Because really, a lot of those kids, they run like the wind, which is really amazing. They've got some dudes down there, boy. They got a bunch of dudes. That's the expression we use. Every coach says, they got some dudes. But the thing about it is, that's the only way oftentimes for kids to get out. I was talking to a coach at Cockwood County in Moultrie, and, you know, Coach Prost is down there, and he has the speech with the kids. He's like, kids, one of the ways you're going to get out of Cockwood County is education through athletics. That's how you're going to do it. And so for Diane, the way she got out of Liberty City, to an extent, she had a great family. Her mom's a teacher. Her dad worked hard. But still, every day she's seeing the stuff that's going on in Liberty City. And yet she wanted to be a classical opera singer. What kid in Liberty City? They're playing basketball, running track, playing football, listening to music. She wants to sing hallelujah. I mean, you know, it's just like amazing. She sang opera. And she was so bold that she went over the seas. She went to Germany and Russia and Europe. And it took her all over the world. She had this teacher that had so much vision for her. And God used her in amazing ways. But to be in urban America to have that dream, she was the first person to graduate from the University of Cincinnati with an artist diploma in music. I went down to Morehouse when I was coaching there for 1 year. I met the music instructor there who does their whole choir and everything. I said, my wife is the first African-American to graduate from Morehouse, from a Cincinnati Conservatory. And she says, oh, well, he said such and such. Diane. That's right. There was somebody else in the artist diploma program. And that was my wife, Diane, at the time, Dames, who graduated that way. She's graduated magna cum laude, summa cum laude, all these cum laudes from different schools. You know what I mean? It's just really awesome. She paid for her education, University of Miami, and a music scholarship. And I'm just like, thank you, Lottie, that I have a great wife. Amen? But we oftentimes, all of us, can get curtailed by what we see, okay, instead of what God has planned for us. We get impacted by empty seats. Oh, man, you know, we're going through transition. It doesn't really matter. We've got people here that are very talented that can do great things for God. You know, you've got to understand that. You've got to have the vision. We've got to have the vision that Jesus has for us. This passage comes all the way from Leviticus chapter 25. Old Testament, that God always had a plan. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, don't turn there, but study it. The ministry of reconciliation has all to do with God's vision for us. He wants us to fight with vision. Fight. Fight. One of the things that we talk about on Friday nights, man, guys, we don't care who wins the game. What we appreciate most is you going out there and fighting. You need to go out and fight. Leave it all on the field. If you're not throwing up after a tough, tough game or close to it or dehydrated, then you didn't leave it on the field. You didn't do enough. If you're not struggling quite yet with cramps, you didn't do enough. You got to fight. You got to fight. We don't really care. Just fight. We respect that the most. What do you think Jesus wants us to do? Just, oh, man, he wants us to fight. We got to fight. Seriously. It's gracious. God is good. Amen. He is. I'm not saying that. I'm not condemning us. I'm saying we got to be fighters. We got to fight for what's right. We got to fight for the vision. We got to fight with the full armor of God. And finally, we got to fight for the souls of men and women. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You guys with me here? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. Paul says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I'm not free from God's law, but under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in his blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. Fight for the souls of men and women. There are amazing instances here when Paul really does communicate how he understands. And what I mean by that is in Acts 16:3, you know, you see him shake, get one of the guys he's taking with him circumcised. In Acts 18:18, you see him cutting his hair because of a vow he made in order to be more effective in that environment. Paul understood. I want to share something with you guys. I always kind of do this. And I want to say this in a way that hopefully you'll understand. Okay? There's not a day I appreciate all that's happened in the United States of America. I'm grateful that God has allowed me to raise my family and my kids. There's not a day where I do not feel the freedom of being in the U.S. And there's not a day where I do not feel the lack of freedom in being in the U.S. I feel both sides. As an African-American male, which is, you know, just an anomaly to me, that the tinting of someone's skin can literally impact how you're viewed in the world. It's just the most phenomenal thing to me. But I feel it both sides. People have tried to pigeonhole me into environments that, no, I'm not doing community resource lending where I'm closing only $50,000 loans and I can't feed my family. I'm not doing that. Okay, I'm not doing this stuff. I'm not allowing you to just pigeonhole me. That's not who Jesus is. And every day I've got to be aware. Now, I do close $50,000 loans. I do close them. But I also got to close the $1 million loans. And I got to close the $500,000 loans and the $200,000 loans and $150,000. I got to have a balance in order to be able to survive in what I do. It's a balance. It's not a pigeonhole. But I have felt it so much throughout my life, not just in the South, but in New York. Okay, everywhere. I've been called the Schwatzer by a Jewish guy. Now, this is a little black boy. And I said, you know what, dude? You don't understand where I'm coming from. I wasn't a Christian at the time. And I went to my manager. I said, look, let me tell you something. If that guy says that to me again, this is before I was a Christian, I'm going to punch him out. They didn't fire me, but they said, don't say that to him. This is a big customer. Why would you say that to someone? Okay, why would you say that to someone? Then just last year, I'm getting off the bus at Fitzgerald, okay? United States of America, 2015. I get off the bus and the offensive line comes. The person stands, oh, he must be the sophisticated one. That's what he says. Okay, I'm at North Forsyth several years ago coaching. I have an African-American quarterback at Mill Creek. One of my coaches was there. They call him the N-word, and then I'm asking the ref to blow the whistle. We get four personal fouls in the first half because, and it's not, I've got white kids. The team is 80% white, and the guy's not blowing the whistle. I'm like, you got to blow the whistle. It's a privilege, coach. We don't blow the whistle. It's a privilege. A privilege to blow the whistle? Are you kidding me? And so what I'm saying is that I want to encourage all of us to just understand, to really understand like Paul understood. Paul understood. It wasn't a matter of him being a Jew. He became all things to all people to win some for Christ. I want to challenge all of us, whether you're African-American, Asian, whether you're Caucasian, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're mixed with a lot of different things, whatever you are, just try to understand where people are coming from. Become like them. Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself, get your heart in that place. Watch how effective you are for Jesus. Just understand. Just try. Try. You may not, but just try. Just try. And I think that if we do that, God can do amazing things through us in this church. Amen? Amen. We have such an advantage, the fact that we are all here worshiping God on the most segregated day of the month, week. You know that? That this is the most segregated day of the week in America, worshiping God. And we're all here worshiping God because we love Jesus, that's why we're here. And we're fighting for what's right, that's why we're here. And so what I want to encourage us, the biggest thing that Satan tries to do is divide. That is his number one tool, is dividing people's hearts and dividing their cultures. We don't have a culture, Diana. We don't have a race. There's no race. It's the human race. That's the race. It's the race. That's the race. That's what it is. So I refuse to be pigeonholed. I refuse to be directed one way or another. Wells Fargo tried to do it years ago. Hey, we need you to do emerging markets. And it's just this. No. No, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. I'm doing what my family needs in order to glorify God. Amen? I think that's very, very important. You know, when you look on the Gwinnett Daily Post, look in the news, and you see all that's going on around us. Woman shot in domestic dispute. Man burns down his house here in Norcross. Peachtree Corners, a fraud scam is going on in Snellville. Somebody shot in the head in Stone Mountain. I mean, people need us. People need us. And if you walk around in a crowd of this size, I guarantee you some of us were on the brink of doing something destructive. And so the only thing that saved us was Jesus and somebody reaching out to us and saying, hey, don't do that. It's okay. We need to be vigilant at winning souls for Christ. I appreciate Todd Schultz. We were out, having breakfast early in the morning. Todd is just sharing, you know, he gets, hey, you want to come to our church? Hey, I'd love for you to come to our church. I jump right in, and she's probably looking at us. Wow, that's awesome. We go to church together. He just shared his faith. It was just really, got me started. Somebody removed the tree from my house. Hey, honey, give me the card. Let me go ahead and share my faith with this guy. We'd love you to come to church. Oh, yeah? Most of the time they don't come, but it's okay. You're still planting seeds, right? So all we need to do is plant and water, and God makes it grow. And invest in people in a great way. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we close out. We need to just understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read this verse, and then we're closing out. For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. There's the grace right there. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you, do not receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to be free. Now is the day to fight with God's armor, fight with his vision with Jesus, and fight for the souls of men and women. God bless you all. Amen.
All right. So you guys out there ready for practice this afternoon? I'm ready to go out there and hit somebody. I'm 53. I'm going to be 53 years old next week. No, but seriously, Kendall, thank you. Kendall, amen. Sisters, thank you for letting me say that. Us brothers, all his brothers, man, we wanted to go out there, and we're ready to go out there and just do some offensive line drills. Now, but I will say this. Spiritually, I think Kendall is able to help us translate that into a spiritual desire to serve God, to love God. Thank you, Kendall. Fight for what's right. Fight with the vision Jesus gives us. And fight for the souls of men. So right now, we're going to have our closing prayer, and then you'll be dismissed. Have a great time of fellowship. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here today. To offer up our worship to you, so deserving it. Father, we ask you to bless this week as we take you with us everywhere we go. And remember and meditate on the things we've learned today, how you are leading us, God, to be a servant for you. God, help us to realize that freedom comes with a fight. And we have to work and have faith in you. And God, we know that you will bless us, God, that you will be with us, that we have no, that we, that you'll be with us to the very end of this age. We give you thanks for your love. Thank you for Jesus dying for us. And we give you praise and worship. Be with us as we depart today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're dismissed.